Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a great show for you tonight. And first of all, I need to say I am coming at you from Amsterdam. That's right. I said it, and you should not believe it because I am, of course, not in Amsterdam. But the guest that I have with me tonight is, I am, as per usual, here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The lovely Sunshine State, but I do have a great guest coming on from Amsterdam. I will introduce him in just a bit. So let's, of course, get the usual housekeeping out of the way. I want to make sure that I give great promotional consideration for people that have helped us on the show. I want to do my regular shout out to Freedom Voice. And of course, folks, you have heard me talk about providing VoIP service finally for my customers and the people that have helped me do that. Freedom Voice, they are the voice of small business. Basically, folks, if you want to partner with them, you want to head over to freedomvoice.com/partners and they will get you set up. They are great. They will walk you through every step of the way. I can't speak enough for them. For the last 6 months that I've been involved, getting ready to roll out yet another customer. I think we're doing 27 phones, maybe 30, I don't know, but we're doing phones and Freedom Voice is helping me do that. So head over to freedomvoice.com/partners. I also want to give a great little shout out to Malwarebytes. I will say that they are actually going to be at our upcoming TechCon Unplugged event that is happening this September. If you head over to the show notes, you will find a great promotion for them that they are giving to the Malware's TechBench Partner Program. They are giving $100 off of a one-year membership to the TechBench Advanced Program. That is good until August 31st. Folks, it is not only $100 off, but it includes the Malware's Bytes tool set, the reseller starter pack of 25 Malware Bytes premium licenses, and you get higher reseller margins and discounts for other Malwarebytes products. So Alex and Michael, great friends over there. Be sure to reach out to them. I also want to go back because I have not mentioned it in a few shows, but I still have the link for helping our good friend Eric Ardini. As many of you know, we lost Eric Ardini earlier in the year. And I told you that as long as the GoFundMe page is up, I'm going to mention it, and I think we had a few people, last week, still providing donations to Eric Ardini's family. Folks, we know that just because the battle is over, the bills are still there to be paid. So if you can donate, please head over to the GoFundMe page for Help Eric Ardini. Ardini is spelled A-R-D-U-I-N-I, or just go to the show note and click on the link and go and provide some help there. And of course, I mentioned it earlier, the 2019 TechCon Unplugged this September 20th through the 22nd in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The conference is shaping up real well there. So let's see. I probably should have gone to the page because I think there are still tickets. And if there are, you should get over and get those because I believe that it is selling out fast. Also, you will go to the website and see the updated speakers list, updated schedule. You'll see the sessions information. Also included in the $199 price is tickets and dinner at Dave and Buster's. There's going to be some great giveaways from some of our vendors that are there. And I'm sorry, I'm scrolling through the schedule myself to make sure I don't miss anything. And looks like, so we've got four additional sessions added to Sunday after lunch. So again, if you thought you were going to sneak out early on Sunday, You probably shouldn't. There are going to be four additional tech sessions there. One of them entitled, What Tools Do You Use for Cybersecurity? So those are the types of things that are going to be happening this September 20th through the 22nd, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Head over to techconunplugged.com, get your tickets. $199 gets you everything. All right. I think that's going to do it for announcements. And I'm again going to hold email for a later date because I want to get to our guest. And I'm not going to tell you at what time I'm recording this show, but let's just say I want to thank our guest for making it a long day where he is. And let me just give you a little bit of background. So back on December 13th of 2017, I aired a show with Jordan Silva on automation. And we mentioned a website. And just a few weeks ago, I actually received a thank you by email from our guest today, because he is the author of that website and is, I don't even know how to describe it, but basically I'm going to say a master of PowerShell. And so I said, you know what? We mentioned your show. You thanked me. How about coming on and talking about not only the website, but about yourself? So I am talking about Kelvin Tegelaar out of Amsterdam, and he is basically everything behind the site CyberDrain. So, Kelvin, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm super happy to be on, but I'll have to correct you straight from the start. Yeah, I'm from Rotterdam, the Netherlands. It's close enough to Amsterdam by American standards, but so quite a bit away.
For somebody who's never been there, I'll take that as close enough.
Yeah, close enough.
So,
and Netherlands. The name is Kelvin with an L.
Kelvin with an L, yes.
Exactly. Okay. Right, so, thanks for having me on. It's really great to be on the show.
All right. So you reached out to me and said thank you because I think I want you to tell the story because the way that you found out about this was actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Another MSP sent me an email saying, hey, I was listening to this podcast and I found this specific blog. You might be interested in it. So I click on the link and I'm like, hey, wait a minute. It's my own blog. I was flabbergasted. I was like, why is this guy sending me my own resources? So I sent him an email back like, hey, on what podcast did you find it? And he eventually sent me the link to your website. I was like, hey.
All right.
So very, very cool to be mentioned and, yeah, get an exposure like that.
Okay. So before we get into the website, I do want to give a little bit of background on you. You currently work for an MSP over there in the Netherlands. So why don't you tell us a little bit about where you work and how you got started in the business?
Yeah, okay. I started in the business about 10 years ago. The company I'm working for is Lime Networks, and we're just a general 20-employee MSP in the Netherlands that we don't aim for a specific vertical. We just aim on getting clients and supporting them the best that we can. So about 10 years ago, I joined this MSP. Back then, the company had three owners. I joined as the fourth, and we started growing very rapidly. It was first just the four owners, then one employee, then another, and then somehow, somewhere halfway through, it just exploded, and we ended up with 20 employees. And we're still growing very fast.
All right. And you do specialize in managed services. And
yeah, absolutely.
Now, the difference is, and most of our podcasts over here, you know, there is this thing called all you can eat that MSPs talk about, but most MSPs don't do that. You actually advertise on your site that you provide IT solutions for a fixed price.
Yeah, we advertise that we provide IT solutions for a fixed price, but it's not an all-you-can-eat model. Okay. It is. All-you-can-eat is a model that I cannot wholeheartedly support.
Right.
It just doesn't work. So we do provide fixed prices, but for specific components. For example, you can take the component managed network. We will manage your complete network for a fixed fee, but it's still depending on the size of the company and the amount of employees. So Yeah, it is fixed fee, but it is not all you can eat.
Okay, great. Just had to throw that out there. So, yeah. Of course, your website's in Dutch, so yeah. I couldn't read it. But I did use the Google Translator to try to figure some stuff out. And I was trying to look at a couple of things. Now, you've got some articles on there that talk about, you know, how, where is it? Oh, I lost the translation. But there's an article out there about how managed services relates to lighting. So do you guys, is lighting with like the automation and all of that stuff, do you guys do lighting?
No, we don't. But it was more, I guess the translation is a little bit off because the entire article is more about that IT should be as simple as a light switch.
Ah, okay.
You should be able to just turn it on and it works. And of course, we all know as technical guys, it doesn't work just magically. There's a lot of effort. There's a lot of things that we have to prepare. But for the end user, it should be as simple as flicking a light switch.
Okay. Yeah, the title was called What Are the Similarities Between IT and Lighting? And then I couldn't read it because it was in Dutch because I couldn't get the translator to work. So I'm glad you're able to explain that.
Exactly.
Now, your company is also, you are a Microsoft Gold partner for small and mid-market cloud, as well as a Gold data center. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's mostly because we've always focused our entire career, we've always focused on having a skilled service desk. That means that for some competencies at Microsoft, you automatically apply because our help desk has multiple MCSEs, they have multiple MCSAs. We just have a very certified skilled service desk. And from there on, you automatically achieve some extra benefits and competencies at Microsoft. So it doesn't mean that we specifically do anything data center-wise. Of course, we have our own data center, we support cloud services, these kind of things. But it's not like we are a data center support company or anything like that.
Okay. All right. And what else did I notice from your website that I could translate to English? Google is translating as we speak. So let's see. We make IT simple, clear language, concrete proven solutions. We take responsibility and take care of your company. All right. Very good there. So I think we've got the introduction out of the way. And what everybody's really going to be interested in is your website, CyberDrain.
Yeah.
So why don't we start with the weird question first, and why did you name it CyberDrain?
Actually, I'll have to be honest, I don't rightly recall. I remember being in college, I think, and we had like this idea of just creating a forum or something for just the guys in college to be able to share stuff. And I think one of my friends said, oh, we should call it the cyber drain because it'll be the drainage pit of the internet. I was like, that's actually a pretty cool name. Registered the domain and it always stuck. And I somehow always built on that.
All right. Hey, nothing wrong with that. So I guess let's start with the entire premise of why you did the site. And I guess that goes back to the fact that you like scripting, I assume, and found a passion in putting a place together where you could share the scripts and people could communicate and share and collaborate. Tell me about the beginnings of CyberDrain.
Well, actually, at the very start, it was more, I want the place just to register my thoughts and have something to fall back on in case I ever lose my notes or these kind of things, you know, a very simple, just put my scripts over there and forget about them. And then eventually I had some people notice the site and saying like, hey, I'm really glad you're sharing these things because automation is very difficult for us. Scripting is difficult. So from there on, I actually started thinking like, okay, maybe I can support people with this, actually share what I know and have other people advance in the same way that I did from learning from other resources. So it kind of snowballed from there. I started asking people, like, what would you like to see on the website? I'm very active on Reddit on the /rmsp. And yeah, a lot of people there have always helped me, saying like, oh, I need a monitoring set for this, or I can't figure out this. Could you help me with that? And from there on, I just, yeah, started making most of the blogs.
All right. Now, were you always a scripter?
Yeah, I've always been very heavily invested in automation, simply because in IT, you want to be as lazy as possible. You don't want to do the same task 50 times a week. You right. just want to run a script and be done with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've always been from the time when it was still Visual Basic scripts and batch scripts, I've always been very active with that. And then in 2008, when PowerShell started getting a bit of traction, it was included in Server 2008 R2. Then the ball really started to get rolling, and I completely went PowerShell.
Okay, and I'm gonna guess that when you put this site up and people started finding it, how much of it was people just kind of taking from you? Because that's what we do. We find a place where we can go grab scripts, and then if we need, you know, hey, it didn't work, then we'll reach out to you and say, oh, your script didn't work, can you fix it?
Yeah, exactly. That's something I've actually, I think 99% are people that just copy the script, don't leave a thank you note, and are like, hey, it works, great, you know? But I don't get any feedback on that. So most of my feedback I tried to get from places like Reddit and Discord and discussions with other MSPs. But to be honest, on the blog itself, the feedback is, hey, it didn't work, or hey, I'm still having another issue, could you help me?
So now that you've got people who are asking you for help, I guess, have you been able to parlay that into money?
I have to say, I don't care about the entire financial aspect of it. The blog part is really about sharing with the entire community that has already given me so much. There's a lot of free webinars I follow. There's a lot of podcasts such as yours that I listen to on a daily basis. And I get so much information from there that I feel it's my moral obligation to return some of it. Of course, I won't just hand over my crown jewels. There's a lot of self-remediation scripts, for example, that I hold very dear to my.
So you hold the good stuff, though.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, I've looked at the site, and I'll be honest, I'm not a scripter. I've said that many times in the show before. I am one of those people that will go out and find a script if I need it. That if it's already written and it works, great. And I've got, you know, pages on my server of scripts that I've grabbed and stuff. But I look at your site as going beyond the scripting, especially in your last few that you've put out, where, I mean, these are not just your basic scripts to, you know, check the time or whatever. These are pretty intense scripts on, you've got the ones on monitoring network state, monitoring SSL certificates, monitoring user creation. These are intense scripts.
Yeah. The thing is that I always try to take, there's like 1,000 RMM systems out there, and Central and Autotask, all of them super large RMM systems, but a lot of them are missing the things that are, that MSPs care about most. Like, how will I monitor the security? How will I monitor the user creation? And I figured I'd try sharing exactly what we were missing in, we were Central users, so what we were missing inside of Central. So I also really try to focus on sharing specifically those items.
Okay. So one of the things that you've done, I don't think I saw it for InCentral, I saw it for ConnectWise and Autotask, you created a quick time entry form.
Yeah, the quick time entry form was actually something that I'll have to go back a little. Internally at our engineers, once in a while, we like to ask, hey, what bothers you, or what repetitive task do you have to do each day, each week, and how can we help you in actually automating a part of our internal process? So not just running monitoring scripts or using PowerShell to fix things. No, what can we actually fix in our internal process? So you have to do less repetitive tasks. And a couple of the on-site engineers that we have came with a request to be able to enter time entries into Autotask easier. I'm not sure if you've ever used the Autotask app, but it's a draconian app in which you have to click 60 times just to enter a time entry. So for our on-site engineers, taking out their phone and clicking all through those menus just to enter one small time entry of 15 minutes, they're like, forget about it, I won't do it, or I'll do it later. And things get forgotten.
Right.
So we're very much like, hey, enter your time when you're at the client. So we created an application, the ConnectWise and the Autotask quick time entry form. So they could just browse to a website, enter the time entry, select the ticket, go, and they're done. Instead of taking 5 minutes per time entry, they now take 10 seconds.
Yes, that is huge, because I know that I leave time on the table a lot of times where I won't do it. I'll say I'll get back to it. And then two weeks later, when I'm trying to bill for it, oh, what did I do?
Exactly. And that's the trick with this thing. You just have it as a shortcut on your phone. You go to the website, you browse to it, and you make sure that you enter your time and it gets booked on the right ticket.
Right.
Originally, I only created it for Autotask.
Mm-hmm.
But then I posted the Autotask version on Reddit, and I was completely flabbergasted about how much response I got on it. And the biggest response that people started sending me direct messages like, hey, is there a version for ConnectWise? Because ConnectWise people were suffering the same problem that we were having with Autotask.
Mm-hmm.
It's too long to enter a time entry. So I figured, you know what? I'll take a couple of extra hours and actually make a ConnectWise version. We completely do not do anything with ConnectWise. But I figured there were so many requests, I just made sure that other MSPs would be able to do the same with their systems.
All right. Well, we'll try to keep it a secret, because you'll start getting requests for other RMMs as well, which we need. All right. So the quick task entry, and I mentioned the fact that you were doing the PowerShells for monitoring, but it's not just monitoring. You're actually scripting remediation within those scripts as well. And one of the ones I wanted to ask you about is you did one for monitoring and remediating Windows feature update status. Can you explain that one a little bit?
All right. So since the advent of Windows 10, we're having these machines that are infinitely being upgraded. Right now, the latest release is 1903, I think.
Yep.
And RMM systems are great at running Windows updates as long as they're small security updates and they completely run fine. The problem is that, for example, NCentral has this. I know that Datto has this. I know that ConnectWise has this and Kaseya. When there's a large feature update, they suddenly start behaving differently. The update doesn't honor the reboot requests anymore. So It just reboots when the user is working, or the update isn't run because there's a slight issue with disk space. Like there's a couple of bytes of disk space not available. So we've been seeing that a lot at our clients, and we decided this needs to be fixed. We don't want to spend time upgrading our clients' machines. So what we did is we started monitoring the registry for which version they were running. And then based on that version, we actually started scheduling tasks saying, okay, upgrade to 1903 in this case at this specific point in time. That means that you can notify the client in advance, like, hey, we're going to upgrade your machine. And at the end of the day, just reboot it and everything will be fine. But at least you'll have a bit more control than what the RMM systems are giving you.
Okay. So now I use SolarWinds RMM, and I struggle with the same thing where, you know, I'll go in and try to push updates so that it's not doing that reboot, but I still have users that, you know, 10:30 in the morning, they're like, hey, why is my system restarting? And there is really no control, you know, from our point to do that. So this looks like something that would really be a benefit. So how much response have you gotten on that one?
Actually, like most blogs, almost none, except for one guy that didn't enter his web server URL correctly and the script didn't work.
Oh,
so
okay.
With most blogs, I do not expect a response. I would love to get thank you notes or something like that, of course, but it's. I know that I'm putting it out there and that people are reading it, and that's good enough for me.
All right. And folks, there is a ton of stuff on this site, and I obviously will put the link in the show notes, cyberdrain.com, and I mean, just lots of stuff in there. I mean, we're talking categories from Hyper-V, Azure, Office 365, a lot of good things that you've put in there. So I asked the question about money, and money's not going to be a thing, but in terms of the community, now I know that in the US, sometimes we'll band together and share things and like each other and all of that. But since you're in the Netherlands, how much of a response are you getting internally, you know, in your country, and how much is coming from outside of the country? I mean, the fact that you got a response from, I'm assuming that person was in the US that heard the podcast and mentioned your link, but what do you think the ratio is for your response?
I think 99% is USA and the 1% is the rest of the world. When I look at the statistics, it's a very simple WordPress page. So I have access to very simple statistics that I see that a lot is USA, and there's a couple of like Polish people that are following it, Australian people. But it's not, most of it is definitely USA.
Okay. And good response, I assume, outside of the fact that we're probably the ones that complain the most when something doesn't work.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Now, of course, the question also is going to be, where do you go for help? Because it sounds like even though you probably have a team there at your company that you guys work on these scripts together, but do you guys go to other places for resources on things? Like if you get stuck with a problem, you know, outside of, you know, your stuff, where do you kind of go and look for help?
I've never been stuck with a problem.
Oh, don't say that.
Okay, no, I'm kidding. Mostly I have a lot of friends that are also just like me. They're very heavily invested in scripting in PowerShell, in even talking about automation. And it just helps their sounding boards. So most of the time I'll just call one of my friends and say, hey, I'm having this issue. Just talk me through it for a little bit. And yeah, we end up finding a way to resolve.
All right. The reason I asked that question is because even though I've talked about the fact that I don't script and I would love to automate my business more and more, when I start to look at PowerShell, and I've talked to a couple of guys that have tried to help me, and I just get to a point where I'm like, okay, I can't. So for guys like me that come to guys like you, what type of advice do you have for us to, you know, get on this automation and scripting bandwagon?
I think that the most important piece of advice that I could give anyone is only try to fix what is really bothering you. Don't try to look at scripts in a way like, oh, hey, that guy has something cool, I could do that too. It's much better to have a small retrospective and see what exactly is bothering you and how you can solve it. A good example that I have is one of our clients was having a major issue with the Windows search engine on remote desktop services. Microsoft themselves have said, you know what? We don't support it. We can't help you with it. And eventually, after a lot of troubleshooting, we found that it was just a simple matter of creating a couple of registry keys and once in a while clearing the entire search database. It's still something that was bothering our company so much that I've even created a blog about it, but it was something that was bothering us so much that we decided we need to solve this, and we need to solve this with automation. So those heavy things that are nagging at you, you should only try to automate those in the start, because then you'll see that there's a huge benefit to it. You'll start evolving and getting the ball rolling to process more scripts and to want to do more with PowerShell.
All right. So I'll keep stealing until I can get with people and share ideas and figure some things out. Now, you mentioned the Windows search, because I do have a customer that is struggling with that. Now, when you said the Windows search, is it just Windows search in general, or is it Windows or the Outlook search where they're searching for something in Outlook and they don't get results?
Well, the Outlook search is related to the Windows search. It's the Windows search engine. Outlook uses the Windows search engine to process these queries. So yes, it's completely related to that. I actually have two or three blogs on that. One on resolution of the problems on remote desktop services hosts. Mm-hmm. And two about monitoring and automatically recreating the database so you won't have to manually intervene. So it's some blogs you can check out. Windows search is difficult.
I am going to look for that because you're right. Microsoft is just, they're like, well, just live with it.
Yeah, exactly. They just say, just live with it.
Which sucks. I mean, wow. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. There was one other I was going to ask you about. So apparently I just missed an event that you, I don't know if it's an event, but it was something that I saw advertised where you were going to be doing a PowerShell training.
Yeah, exactly. It's already a while ago, but it was a pretty successful PowerShell course. I just did a Teams webcast. From there on, I tried to help some people just taking care of the basics of PowerShell. Simple stuff like how do you create a for each statement? So how do you, if you have a lot of objects, how do you loop through them and make sure you do something for each object? Or how do you use if in PowerShell? And those very simple basic language parts of PowerShell, I tried picking up with a lot of people. And yeah, just giving them a handle on it so that in the future they could use them themselves.
All right. And I assume that it was a very well-attended session?
It was pretty well-attended, but again, the comments were very low. I mean, I think I had 80 people in the entire session. So for me, that is a lot. Probably this podcast is 100 times that, but yeah. It's just something that was surprising to me. And I had 80 people actually listening to me, trying to explain things. And there were a couple of small questions, but never really. There wasn't a lot of engagement in it.
Really? So I would
I absolutely would like to do it again, but I would love a bit more of a question and answer or something like that.
Well, you let me know when, because I got questions. So I'll ask the questions or whatever. I'm surprised because I thought, or I would have thought, that there are more people like me who are going to have just basic questions. You know, how do I get started? If I want to create a script myself from scratch, where do I start? Because to be honest, I've tried to look at some of the tutorials and it seems as though they expect you to already know a lot about scripting.
Yeah, that's true for most tutorials. I can recommend one thing. There's a book called PowerShell in 1 month of lunches. That book, just half an hour a day, takes you through so many concepts around PowerShell and teach you so much about how to actually use it as a tool. I think pretty much everyone that loves PowerShell recommends this book, so it's absolutely something to check out. And of course, my blog is also created in the same manner as that book. I always try to show you the concept of something and you can modify the script yourself. I remember Jordan Silva talking about it, saying, yeah, I created a security event log monitoring, but you can easily adapt that simply by changing the IDs of what monitoring sets you're looking for or what event sets you're looking for. You simply change the ID to, for example, if a server has blue screened.
Right.
So it's I always try to make every blog very adaptable to different situations. And that's also something that you'll find in the book I just recommended, the PowerShell in a Month of Lunches. It's a fantastic book.
Yep. I just located it on Amazon. And of course, I'll put that in the show note. Learn Windows PowerShell in a Month of Lunches, third edition. So, All right. And it's by Donald W. Jones and Jeffrey Hicks. All right. Yeah. Number one bestseller. Look at that. Number one bestseller in XML programming. That's why I would have never found it.
Probably.
All right. So got that. And then, of course, your blogs, which I'll be honest, I did start to look at when Jordan and I talked over a year ago. And then, of course, I got busy And I never went back to it, but it was a great site and is a great site, I should say. And I did actually pull a couple of scripts off, just so you know. I think I pulled off a file association script a while back.
Perfect. That's great. It's really nice to hear people actually using the resources. I always try to blog in specific time frames. For example, right now I'm on chapter 3 of the monitoring blog. Mm-hmm. And now I'm taking a small break for 2-3 weeks. And then from there on, I'll start moving on to the next chapter where I'll be more focused on self-remediation. So just not touching anything and making sure that PowerShell fixes the problem for you.
Right.
So it's something that if you want to really make sure that you're using the blog as a learning system, I suggest just go back to all the way to chapter 1 when I just started talking about monitoring. Go through those scripts and you'll see that the difficulty slowly ramps up, but you'll be able to follow it better.
So the monitoring, so you're actually making that into like a series.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Series PowerShell monitoring. Okay. And you're on chapter 3, monitoring network state.
Yeah, that was the last chapter for now. And soon we'll start chapter 4, and that will be more focused on self-remediation and automatic healing. It's something that at Lime Networks we're completely focused on. We love proactively solving issues. We don't want our clients to call us.
Right. So you actually have a script for monitoring DHCP pool status.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be honest, I don't think I know any techs that pay as much attention to DHCP as they should. I know that I do. I have a couple of larger customers, and you know, if you start the scope a little too small, you might run into some issues and stuff like that. But you actually have built a script on monitoring the pool status. Was that a scenario that prompted you to do that? Is you had a customer that was running out of IP addresses?
Well, as an MSP, of course, you do a lot of takeovers of environments that are not configured in the best way.
Right.
You sometimes take over an environment that was created by someone fresh out of school, didn't know what they were doing, super small DHCP scope, no configured DNS services, all these kind of things. So the sort of unmanaged hell that everyone knows exists. So when we start in those environments, we don't immediately apply all of our policies and say, now it's like it should be. We slowly try to move it over to have the impact, to make sure that the impact isn't intervening the business.
Right.
DHCP is a good example of that. You can't just say, okay, you know what, we'll increase the scope because you don't know what else is hanging around in that scope at that moment. So we decided, let's just monitor and see when the scope runs out. Let's make some changes to the network at that moment. So it's something that we started doing.
Okay. So now that I'm sorry, I've got more questions popping in my head. So when you're taking over or taking on a new client, do you have like a set package of scripts that you will go in with and say, okay, we're going to run these scripts for this client and for every client? I mean, it sounds like a lot of these would be, I guess, sort of generic, although I'm assuming you're going to have to tailor some scripts based on, you know, like you said, URL, server name, stuff like that. But is there like a package of scripts that you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. We've always said that everything we do is secure by design. So that means you think about the security layer before you think about everything else. That also means making sure that servers are configured the way they should be. Windows firewall is enabled. There's not strange ports open on network devices. All the simple, basic security stuff.
Right.
We actually have scripts at the moment that we install our central agent that immediately starts deploying those security policies, no matter what. There's no choice in it. It always has to be applied. And you were saying that the scripts should be customized. Actually, we pride ourselves that all our scripts are generalized. Mm. So they run on every client all the time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's it's a focus of us that we don't want to spend time configuring stuff for our clients, because in all honesty, no client is really all that special. As an MSP, you want clients that are standardized. You want clients that use one specific set of IT security instructions of the way everything is configured. And we really just force that through at the moment of takeover.
Nice. I like that approach. I'm going to have to read more on your stuff here. You should sell that package too. Can probably make some money that.
Maybe.
All right. Well, Kelvin, I've asked pretty much all my questions that would be relevant to the show. I have others that are relevant to me. But I, like I said, as I was going through your sites, I saw, you know, the stuff on 365. I did notice the RDS search issue, the service crashing, and there were a couple other things that really, you know, people can go on here and find themselves and do that. So folks, again, the site is Cyber Drain, and it is just like it sounds, CyberDrain .com. It's in English, so you don't have to do the translation like I did when I was researching Lime Networks. And great site, and glad that somebody mentioned it to you, to yourself, your own site. Kelvin, anything else that you think people should know about either Cyber Drain or PowerShell or scripting, automation?
No, I don't think so. I think we pretty much covered everything for now. And like I said, if anyone has any questions, feel free to comment on my blog. I love thank you notes. I love talking to people about IDs for new blogs, these kind of things. So everyone should just feel free to send me a message.
Oh, you've got a thing on here on deploying AutoVPN.
Yeah. SSTP AutoVPN.
Interesting. All right. Beautiful. All right. Got a lot of stuff to look at. So Kelvin, again, thank you very much for coming on, and thank you for staying up so that we could do this. It's still light where I'm at, but actually is it tomorrow where you're at now already?
It's tomorrow. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kelvin Tegelaar from the Netherlands.
Exactly.
Sorry, I said Amsterdam in the beginning. I guess I think I got so excited when I pulled up the map and I recognized Amsterdam. That's I did that. All right. So folks, head over to cyberdrain.com, take a peek at stuff, and reach out to Kelvin. Please, somebody tell him that he's doing a great job, because it's guys like him that are helping guys like us do a much, much better job in our business. So, all right, Kelvin, I'm going to sign off here, and I'm sure you're going to get a lot of traffic here over the next couple of weeks as people listen. And folks, that's going to do it for our show tonight. Thank you for listening, subscribing, and downloading. Of course, head over to the show note and find the link for the Learn Windows PowerShell book. Find the link to CyberDrain and support our sponsors on the PodNuts Network. And also, if you want to support this show, click on the Amazon link. I would hope that you would do that before you buy the PowerShell book. Your purchase price on the site does not change, but a little bit of commission will come back so that we can keep doing these great and wonderful shows. That's going to do it for tonight. I'll be back next week with hopefully a great show. And until then, holla.